Welcome to the Lance Wallnau Show. Today is going to be explosive. You know, one of the great debates that's been going on in America is fake science and fake medicine, from the pharmaceutical establishment all the way to the transsurgical procedure. One of the great arguments that was said was, well, if your child is not allowed to have access to the trans, surgery, they could be suicidal. Would you rather have a trans child or a dead child? This is the line methodically used over and over again to persuade heartbroken parents that their child needs to go through this puberty blocker, hormone therapy, and surgery. Well, the facts are now coming out. It's the exact opposite. Does that surprise you? We're going to go into that today. The suicide rate is actually higher with men that are doing these surgeries to become women than any other category. So we're going to take a look at that data, and we're going to go into that. And you know, it's like, who do you trust these days? I'm going to give you another thing that really freaks me out. I'm reading these articles about the mRNA. They're trying to get into the food. They're trying to get into the agriculture. They're going to get this mRNA vaccine thing into you. If you're not going to get the shot, they'll get into you some other way. This is diabolic. You can't even trust the meat at the grocery store. This is the big thing. What they're doing to the meat in the grocery store. If you want to be able to eat meat that doesn't have antibiotics, vaccines, or mRNA tampering, then you need to be looking at the alternative that I use and my staff use. It's called Good Ranchers. This is grass-fed, grain-finished, better than like organic preparation of meat that's delivered to your door in a fast, convenient, economical way so that it's brought right to you. Forget the meat aisle at the store. Go to lancewalnut.com/goodranchers. lancewalnut.com/goodranchers. Do what I'm doing. I can now eat meat from the grill without worrying about what somebody's putting into my body. Check it out. This is the show that is intent on giving you the news that you don't hear anywhere else, or at least giving you a perspective that I believe is prophetically prescient and accurate, meaning that I believe that we have a way of seeing things here that actually is going to give us predictive power to clarify not only what's been happening, but what's happening and what's going to come next. And now I want to welcome my wing woman, Mercedes Sparks.
Happy to be here, Lance, even though they don't cut to me.
Do we have her on? Can you guys get it? Thank you. I want the camera crew ready. We're going to work now. Okay, we got Mercedes right over there. Thank you. Pay attention to me. Mercedes, how was your weekend?
It was great, Lance. It was really, really good. I went to Catalina Island, actually. Took a little vacation with the family. So it was really great.
I'm glad you were taking a vacation with the family while I was here in the salt mines, working once again.
On the weekend?
Well, not all weekend. All right, listen, we have a special guest with us, a special conservative political strategist. I would like to make him a regular feature of our show because he brings not only an element of insight, but I like people that are digging deeper into these subjects because Luke is a political strategist, Luke Ball. You've seen him probably with me on Flashpoint and Gene Bailey. He's the CEO of Mason Borough Strategies, and he appears a lot more on television and radio, so I want to get him before you guys right now. Because it doesn't matter what subject I bring up, Luke Ball will have something to say, and it's informed. So, Luke, we don't have any preparation for this show other than a quick, you know, here's the headlines. And so have at it, my friend. First of all, you were just on Newsmax. I want to go right to, while it's fresh in your mind, you were on Newsmax, but you're dealing with a subject I wanted to get into, and it has to do with the LGBTQ movement. Is it, where's the Q in that? LGBT, I thought the T comes...
LGBTQIA plus is the movement full alphabet.
It's progressed rather rapidly and it's gone crazy. But now we're doing the Courage Tour. I want everyone to know about this. TheCourageTour.com. 7 states, 19 counties. Bam, bam, bam. We're going in with we're like a spiritual wrecking ball going into this apathetic indifference and fear that is on the body of Christ, which is going to show up this year, and America is going to have a decisive moment because I believe Christians are going to be awakening to what they've got to do. Having said that, the mama bears are going to be on our tour at thecouragetour.com speaking about what's happened to their kids. So bring us up to date as to what's going on, Luke, in the area of the trans movement. I do think they have overreached, and it's just a matter of people being aware of what's going on before the outrage meter gets hit. So take it from there. What's happening in the LGBTQ trans community?
So we just had this study that was published that basically said that people who went through a transition in a surgery were at a higher risk for suicide later on in their life, that it wouldn't work out very well for them, which is exactly opposite of what all of the doctors pushing these transgender surgeries were saying. Mm-hmm. We had someone in front of the U.S. Congress a few weeks ago that basically said the doctor told her parents, "Would you rather have a transgender person son slash daughter who is alive, or would you rather have them dead because they didn't go through with the surgery?" That's the ultimatum that these sick doctors are giving to the parents of people who might be confused as they're growing up a little bit. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but not all feelings are actionable. In fact, most feelings are not actionable. When I was growing up and in second grade, I thought or told everyone for a few days that I was a lion. And I'm really glad that my teachers and parents didn't advocate for going and dropping me off at the zoo, because it wasn't factual. It was just a pretend. It was a feeling. It was a period of time. And I think that these transgender surgeries are going to go down in history as one of the greatest medical quackeries of the last century. We're going to put it in the same category, Lance, as bloodletting. We're going to put it in the same category as some of the other horrific and stupid medical things that we've done over the last few decades. And I believe that people are starting to wake up a little bit. We see now overseas, I believe in England, that they're no longer allowing for some of these puberty blockers to go to the children. I think, as you mentioned before the show, it's probably because they're facing a lot of lawsuits. And I think that it's going to take lawsuits here in the United States and DAs who have the courage to stand up and prosecute these doctors and these hospitals and these individuals who are pushing these surgeries, because the damage that it is doing to our children and the next generation is completely disastrous.
All right, let me add to this the fact that we have all gone through a kind of there's a disillusionment with our country, our institutions. So many of us that just used to pray and vote and then gripe about what's going on with the culture, now we're watching this hostile takeover of everything, and we're beginning to realize with the COVID era of the big profits that were coming to the pharmaceutical companies, that there may be more money and lobbying involved with these things than there is science. And there's nothing more true to that point than the doctors in the hospitals that are pushing children at an age where they're going through all kinds of psychological adjustments into confirming the fact that maybe they're a boy in a girl's body, a girl in a boy's body, and there's money to be made. Mm-hmm. There's millions of dollars to be made in this trans hormonal blocking surgical arena. And if you don't have a conscience and you're just interested in money, then you're going to go in the direction of, well, what's wrong with that? And so I agree 100%. I think Europe, I heard Bannon say this once. He said, Europe is about 2 years ahead of the United States. Always watch the trends. It happened with Brexit, and then it preceded Trump. And I think what's happening now is the awareness in Europe is, hey, man, our kids, like you said, if suicide is the byproduct of affirming the unreality of emotionally, mentally unstable preteens and young teenagers, then no longer can you make the argument that you're making them suicidal by denying them the operation. And so this is a really important point, but it does come down to realizing these cats are in it for the money. So I got a lady named Erin Lee, whose daughter was being groomed in school in an art class called Skittles, where an activist came in and was educating all the kids on how they were really queer and they weren't really gender clear, and therefore they were candidates for being trans, and they got their wristbands and their applause, their celebration as special kids if they went in that direction. And what she said was the counselors they went to couldn't advise the child out of it for fear of losing their license. The doctors were afraid of losing light. In other words, the apparatus reinforces the disconnect of the integrity of your profession, or you'll lose. It's like me being on this platform. Thank God we got Real America's Voice and platforms like this, because I promise you, this is what made me lose 200,000 people on YouTube. Somebody didn't like either my COVID explanation or discussion or the trans, either one of those two. Take me off at the knees, and if I was dependent on that for a living, I'd be bankrupt now, because that's how they punish you. So it does come down to legal action, doesn't it, Luke?
It absolutely does. And what also amazes me about this is that people outside of Christianity will look in and say, how can you believe stuff from the Old Testament or the Bible? They were doing some weird things. You read Leviticus and Exodus and Deuteronomy, some of those things. Well, just think of it in terms if the people back then were watching what was going on right now. And if they were reading an account of what was happening in the United States of America, that the children were being told they were born in the wrong body, that they had to change their gender, that there were drag queens. What on earth is that, that were being forced or sent into the schools and the children were being forced to watch this? There were doctors who were profiting off the mutilation of the children as a result of that. I mean, we are setting up for something beyond a letter from Paul. We are setting something up on the proportion of Sodom and Gomorrah, quite frankly. And so to see all of this happening, we lose if we don't view this first and foremost as a spiritual battle, because ultimately, and we've said this on Flashpoint Live Talks and things like that, the devil wants to try to come in and undermine, number one, the image of God. Let us make man in our image. And so if he can mutilate that and take it and twist it and turn it around, then he has a victory. Number two, breaking down the family, taking that binary man and woman, and essentially taking that representation from marriage of Christ and his church and twisting it all around and perverting it in horrific ways, he gets a second one if he can get on with that. And then number three, when he goes after our children, when he comes after the young men, the young women, the boys and the girls, he is then taking what Jesus Christ called a picture of salvation. Let the little children come unto me and do not hinder them, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He is taking the very image of the kingdom of heaven and salvation and having a childlike faith in coming to Jesus Christ, and he is perverting it beyond our wildest imagination. So this is a spiritual battle on a spiritual front, and when the left gets upset at us and calls us Christian nationalists and whatever, you know, that's fine. You can label us whatever we want. We proudly proclaim that title, honestly. But they use this because they are scared of being pointed out that they are the perverts in this situation. They're saying we're trying to be oppressive with our worldview when they're the ones who are trying to trans our children. And it seeps into our government and we are labeled because we are trying to stand up for absolute truth. They call us bigots for trying to stand up for science and morality and reality when they're in here trying to take our children and pervert them in unspeakable ways. So make no mistake, when we have this battle at the state level in our legislature or on the federal level in Congress, in the Senate, and this battle for the White House, we are fighting a spiritual battle because of what the left has explicitly said that they want to do, what they want to come in and accomplish. That's what we're fighting against. And if we don't view it as such as a spiritual battle, then we are already losing ground.
All right, for those of you that are asking about where this study is, the study was carried out in California, published by the American Urological Association, found that men who had transgender surgery, catch this, men who had transgender surgery, technically referred to as vaginoplasty, were more likely to commit suicide after the operation than before. Mm-hmm. And that's the important information. Its results were neatly summarized by Health and Science reporter Benjamin Ryan, has written for a variety of liberal news outlets, including the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Guardian. And so the study, just because it's worth getting the facts on this, he explains, the study finds that the attempted suicide rate among transgender women who received the vaginoplasty in California was twice as high during the period after the surgery compared with the period before the surgery. The investigators analyzed data on all 868 people who received the vaginoplasty. 357 people received a phalloplasty in California between 2012 and 2018, with an average of 2 years of data before and after the surgery. And what it tells us is 22% of the vaginoplasty group and 21% of the phalloplasty group had at least one emergency room inpatient psychiatric encounter during the study period, whether before or after. So that means that, you know, you're already dealing with a psychiatric challenge right there. We got to stop the segment. I got to take a hard break right here. But listen, when we come back, while we're on a roll here with the spiritual stuff, I can't believe Jack Hibbs, of all people, Jack Hibbs, nice little pastor out there in California, is on the hot seat for daring to pray in Congress. We'll come right back and cover that. America is in an absolute crisis, and destiny is going to be determined over the next couple of months. And guess what? You are going to be a participant in shaping what happens in America. I want to invite you to the call to courage. Courage is contagious. Persecution is not something that you should ever let keep you from preaching or proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Go to thecouragetour.com where you can join Mario Morello and me in an explosive experience where the power of God, miracles, signs, and wonders are going to be experienced by thousands of people just like you, looking for the move of God and believing that God can save America. Mario, what are your thoughts about the Courage Tour?
It is a divine strategy. God has chosen locations that will directly affect the election. This is going to stave off the corruption we had in the last round because it's going to be a supernatural event. Whenever Lance and I have worked together, whenever we've teamed up, it's like the old adage, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. What God does in our events together is amazing. This one is taking one event that was successful on its own, another event that was successful on its own, and blending them together. That's why the Courage Tour should never happen without you. If you love America, if you believe in the supernatural power of God, if you ever said, I believe that revival is coming, then you've committed yourself to be a part of this great miracle that's unfolding. Go and register at the website right now.
TheCourageTour.com. TheCourageTour.com. Yeah. We're focusing on 7 battleground states, 19 key counties, and we need you to join us. God bless you. All right, let's just take a look. It's a minute and 59-second prayer. What in the world caused a letter from Congress, complaining about a pastor's prayer on the Hill? Let's go ahead and play Jack Hibbs praying.
Almighty God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, together we come before you in humility as a people in need of your forgiveness, your mercy, your goodness, and your grace. For these 250 so years, our fathers in this Congress have prayed for your guidance and protection. And so we stand here in humble petition that you today might do the same, that this nation and its unparalleled Constitution, your great gift to all freedom-loving people, might be renewed here and across this land as a beacon of hope to all who seek peace. I ask you today, Father, to bring to us a great awakening of righteousness and confidence in you, who alone is mighty to save. Hear my cry in this hour of great need that we might be humbly blessed before you in the repentance of our national sins. You, Almighty God, are the source of all wisdom, and there is no wisdom but that which comes from you.
Well, all I can say is he's being called an ill-qualified hate preacher by 24 Congress members who demanded answers for why Pastor Jack Hibbs was allowed to even open in prayer. Luke, what was it about that prayer that you think flipped the switch on those 24 members who represent a whole lot more people that were just incensed? What did he say that was so bothersome?
I think it was the line saying that the people who were there would be held accountable for how they voted and how they governed. I don't think that the Democrats necessarily like to hear things like that, that there will be judgment, that there will be reckoning, that there will be accountability for the way that they conduct themselves. I think that's probably what scared them the most. But there was nothing, that prayer, if it were prayed in my church, would probably be among one of the milder prayers, honestly. I mean, there wasn't anything that should have been offensive in there, except the fact that there was absolute truth, that there was morality, that there was judgment. There was basically consequences for your actions. And the left doesn't want to talk about consequences for your actions because they only want to know what you're feeling and what your emotions are. They want to hear about the way that you woke up today and what you're feeling today. And as the day progresses, did anybody give any microaggressions towards you or say anything that might counter that spirit of emotion that's within you? And as many, many people say, the facts, the science, the reality will run roughshod over those emotions and those feelings. I mean, people get smacked in the face with the reality sometimes because they waltz through this world thinking that the only thing that matters is what they feel in that moment, and that is not the case at all. So I don't think that the left is too hot on hearing the chaplain say anything other than everything is wonderful and gracious and we all have paths and this, that, or the other. They want a sense of spirituality without having the reality of what the spirit is. They have this basic spirit in Washington, D.C. of evil that is pervasive in that town. And any prayer that just offers up glad tidings and great joy because of the current situation of acceptance is not actually pointing back to glad tidings and great joy that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come to redeem us. They don't want any sense of right or wrong. They just want butterflies and ponies, frankly. So I don't think it sat well with them because they were called out for having accountability for the way they would govern.
All right, let me get that. I want to get, while my producer is getting the letter prepared that Congress sent, I just want to read a little bit of it. I haven't seen it yet. Mercedes, there's a lot of people that go up there and pray, don't they? I mean, they got all kinds of hymns, shims, and hers up there praying and praying to all kinds of deity gobbledygook.
Yeah, but I think, too, in Jack Hibbs' case, he was asked not to mention Jesus and then had an approved prayer that he submitted, and then he went rogue and prayed in Jesus' name.
Oh, wait a second.
So, yeah.
He actually, it's like Mike Lindell. You ever hear the story of Mike Lindell? He's doing his MyPillow commercial, and then he has a cross on. They say, hey, you got to get rid of that cross. You're going to do your MyPillow. And he said, no, I'm not getting rid of it. That, to me, was the defining moment of Mike Lindell. Remember Duck Dynasty when they took, Arts and Entertainment took them off the air because they had a prayer at the end. This is the nature. What I want you to hear is the intolerance of the diversity, equity, and inclusion crowd. It's absolutely intolerant of you if you represent half of America that's Catholic or Protestant. Now, you can't be that way. You can't pray. You can't do that. They can do whatever they want, but you can't represent yourself because democracy is under siege if you actually are able to practice freedom of religion. Well, let's see that letter.
But they also pretend that their belief system isn't an ideology as well. They act like, well, you guys believe in God, but we don't believe in God. We're unbiased. The way we view the world, that's the way you should view the world. And I'm like, the reality is, at this point, we even put it in our book, Lance, this is its own religion. It's its own worldview with its own belief systems, its sin, its unpardonable sins, its path to redemption. Like, there really isn't one if you're canceled by the woke mob. So anyways, I was going to throw it out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Excommunication is basically cancel culture, and blasphemy is hate speech. Whatever, you know, you're not allowed to say certain things. You can be punishable by fines, lose your job, go to jail in some places. Let's see that letter. Producer, bring it up. Letter from Congress complaining about Jack Hibbs' prayer. What does it say? Can you read that? Does anyone have microfiche lenses here? How am I supposed to read that in a studio? Anyway.
This is because it's far away. Here, I think I've got it here.
Here, read it for us.
Dear Speaker Johnson and Chaplain Kidin, I think is how we say it. The undersigned members write to express our concern about Speaker Johnson's sponsorship of Pastor Jack Hibbs as the guest chaplain of in the House of Representatives. Pastor Hibbs is a radical Christian nationalist who helped fuel the January 6th insurrection and has a long record of spewing hateful vitriol toward non-Christians, immigrants, and members of LGBTQ community. He should never have been granted the right to deliver the House opening prayer on January 30th, 2024.
Well, there you have it, folks, a rabid Christian nationalist. One of those guys that loves America and believes in Jesus. That's intolerable. Yeah. Get rid of him. That's the way it is in the CCP-run Democrat Party.
But notice it says immigrants. It doesn't say illegal aliens. It doesn't say illegal immigrants. They're saying immigrants, but I don't think it's legal immigrants Jack Hibbs might have an issue with. I think it's illegal aliens.
This goes without saying. But you know what? It is what it is. And so the But we only have like 3 minutes. I can't believe the time is flying as we're here. Robert Hur testified before the House Judiciary, speaking of other suspensions of reality. What was interesting about this from your perspective, Luke? He testified that a ghostwriter attempted to destroy audio recordings of Biden's interview. He had audio recording. He had illegal information, and he attempted to destroy it. There's something odd about this whole setup. What's the story here? And if I can, I'm going to try to get that Matt Gaetz cross-examination on this. What's the kerfuffle here?
Well, the oddest thing to me is the totality of both the Trump documents case and the Biden documents case. Whenever it was Trump's turn, they kicked down his door at Mar-a-Lago and raided and pulled out documents. With Joe Biden, they allowed him to work through his attorneys and his lawyers, and then the National Archives and Records Administration issued a casting call to all former presidents and vice presidents to check between their couch cushions to see if they had any documents that were left lying around their home. The double standard there was staggering. I think the greatest thing to come out of the testimony was Robert Hur basically confirming that Joe Biden is somebody who has two final brain cells playing freeze tag with one another, and that's why we can't move forward with any sort of a prosecution. That was a ridiculous standard, and I watched that Matt Gaetz clip that you've referred to, and in that, he basically says, what do you have to do in order to be charged by you? Like, the things that you overlooked in this case, people would be charged 4 and 5 times over if it was just a normal American, so the double standard is what really jumped out to me.
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of bizarre that Schiff was so offended that the special counsel dared to present evidence that Joe Biden had memory challenges, even though he attributed it to being a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man. That, in other words, how dare you? Catch the argument. How dare you expose the fact that what we all know is true when he isn't getting amphetamined up? You know, he can't put sentences together. He can't recall stuff. So it was a rebuke on a national platform, on a national stage, for daring to. And the guy's defense was, I actually had to publish the truth. Is that okay? He goes, no, it's not okay. You can't do it because it's your opinion and it's prejudicial to the candidate. Now, they got a problem here, as far as I can see. Luke, you and I both have discussed on other occasions how Biden is a great liability. I mean, his approval ratings, his competency, his performance on almost all occasions that we see, with the exception of these rare angry old man moments like at the State of the Union address, he's not really electable. But now they got a problem because they have to prop him up in the saddle and say, oh, he is totally functioning and electable, and any attack on him that says otherwise is just pure partisan politics. It's almost as though if Biden doesn't check himself into the Mayo Clinic and leave, he's on the ticket. They've got a catch-22. If he looks like he can do it and they're defending that, well, he's got to run. How do you see this playing out?
Well, I agree with you, too, because basically what's happened here is that the DOJ and the folks who are in what we call the deep state have basically tried to throw him under the bus a little bit here. And you've seen how the deep state has operated in the past with respect to Donald Trump. They basically said, we're going to be able to get him, those text messages between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. Don't worry, we'll stop him. Things like that. I mean, they tried to get Donald Trump indicted, impeached, all sorts of things. And now they're looking at another rematch where they really couldn't get Donald Trump. So now they've got to try to remove Joe Biden, a major liability for the Democrats right now. So I think that it is people who might still be loyal to Biden in total opposition to the people in the Democrat Party who see reality. And far too often, the DNC and the FBI are in cahoots with one another. We've got three major political parties here, the RNC, the DNC, and the FBI. And the FBI and the DNC basically just make in-kind contributions back and forth to one another in politics.
I love it. I love it. Luke, I can't believe it. I can't because of the discipline they're under. I'm under with Rav. I've got to stop right now. But thank you very much for all of your commentary. How can people hear more from you? Where can they get in touch with you?
Just follow me at Luke T. Ball.
Luke T. Ball. All right. God bless you, Luke. Hey, it's hard to believe that we're out of time already. Where does the time go? Mercedes just went right past us. Anyway, we're going to be back again tomorrow. Same time, same bat channel. Looking forward to seeing you back again. What happens if a natural disaster takes place? We have these weird tornadoes that hit in the Midwest and in Texas. But look at the hurricanes in Florida. People can literally have their houses flooded, or they're in a situation where they have no food or access to groceries. Everyone needs at least a 4-week emergency food kit. And fortunately, My Patriot Supply has created a 4-week emergency kit. And these products will last for 25 years. The interesting thing is they give you a 2,000 calorie per day meal. And that's the key, delicious and 2,000 calories a day, because that's what you're going to need to sustain yourself for 4 weeks in a crisis. We had the a winter freeze here in Texas, of all places, and we had a couple of days where we had no electricity. I'm telling you something, this makes a huge difference. Mushroom rice pilaf, fluffy rice and mushrooms, seasoned with red wine and herb. And then how about starting the day off? Maple Grove oatmeal, old-fashioned oats, maple flavoring with a pinch of brown sugar. This is what you want to do. 4-week emergency food kit, and that's just for you. Think about your children. Guarantee somebody around you is going to need help. You're going to want to at least have the 4-week emergency kit. Go to lancewalnut.com/patriot. Use that link, and you're going to get a special discount on their special 4-week emergency kit promotion.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.